Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day when we have some greatly increased clarity about where the Supreme Court of the United States is going on an issue that may be, in the long term, every bit as important as the issue regarding the future of Roe v. Wade in the Dobbs case and more. We're talking about the issue of race-based college admissions, judging people not just on their test scores and their grade point average and their community service, but injecting the basic facts of skin color and racial background. Is that an appropriate source for judgment? Most American people think absolutely not. There was a poll that we shared from Pew that came out yesterday. But also, much more important, yesterday there was oral arguments before the court on the case that had been brought against the University of North Carolina and Harvard University. John Yu is one of the leading legal scholars in the country. He's the Emanuel S. Heller Chair in law. That's the chair he holds at University of California at Berkeley Law School, where he is a distinguished professor of law. He's also a non-resident senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute and a visiting fellow at the Hoover Institution. John, I know you listened avidly and wrote about the oral arguments yesterday. What surprised you most about what you heard?
This was 5 hours of oral arguments, Michael. And the one thing I didn't really hear was a good explanation of what racial diversity actually means from the universities. They were asked several times two questions by the conservative majority on the court. And one was, define racial diversity. And Justice Thomas said this in particular. He said, suppose the student population in terms of racial groups exactly mirrors the percentage of minorities in the population. Is that racial diversity? And the universities wouldn't agree to that. If they won't agree to that, then what is it? It's anything. Then the second thing Thomas and Justice Alito repeatedly asked were, why is racial diversity a good thing? Prove to us that racial diversity actually makes educational outcomes better, that people end up being better students or better graduates, better citizens, better workers. And again, the universities had a hard time answering this. And then the third line, I think this is probably the most famous line from the oral arguments, was Harvard University's lawyer, very distinguished lawyer, said that race is just a tipping, like it's just like a tiebreaker. And then he said, just like if you were an oboe player and Harvard's orchestra needed an oboe player that year. And Chief Justice Roberts sarcastically said, we didn't fight a civil war over oboe players. So remarkable oral argument. And if people are fans of the Supreme Court interested or interested in affirmative action, I highly recommend listening to it. Or there's transcripts now online where you can read the back and forth. But it's extraordinary. You know, most oral arguments are at the Supreme Court are 30 minutes. So this one was 4 hours. It was really incredible.
What about the participation of Ketanji Brown Jackson, the newbie on the court? She, as I understand it, had recused herself from participation in the final decision regarding Harvard.
That's right. She was a member of the Board of Overseers, which is one of the governing boards of Harvard. I got to say, Michael, you and I haven't been invited to join this board. But so she couldn't sit on that case. And so, there were two cases, Harvard and then another one against University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. And so she participated in that one. The legal issues were very similar. The questions were very similar. Now, the other thing is she's the most junior justice, the newest justice. And so they are kind of going in order of seniority now after COVID. And so she didn't get to ask a lot of questions compared to some others, as she had been earlier this term. I will say the questions that the liberals on the court, her, Justice Kagan and Justice Sotomayor, the arguments they pushed were assuming that racial diversity was already an important value for society. And again, it's hard. I think it's hard to prove that that's the case when the highest they were essentially arguing that racial diversity is as important a good for our society as protecting the country from foreign attack. That's the only other thing that has that importance. Their argument was, well, are there all sorts of things we're going to do anyway? Even if you can't tick a box that says race, well, in the applications, there's going to be lots of other ways to tell someone's race. So what good is it going to do if you say they can't do it? They're still going to talk about in their personal essays and recommendation letters. And so can't universities still pretextually use race? I didn't think that was a very good argument for them to make, but that was the one they really focused on repeatedly.
And at what time there? It's going to be months and months before they actually prepare their decision. Is that right?
Yes. You know, usually the court, and we saw that last year with the Dobbs opinion that overruled Roe versus Wade in the Second Amendment case out of New York. No matter when it's argued, the most controversial, important decisions usually get released the last week of the Supreme Court term. So that everybody has a chance to write dissents and concurrences. So I bet it won't come out till the last week of June. We won't know for whatever it's going to be, 8 more months.
Do you think that there will be anything comparable to the level of anger we saw? Because it does look like this is shaping up to be a 6-3, or at very worst 5-4 decision overruling the Grutter case and basically saying, no, you can't use race as an independent factor in accepting or rejecting students. So do you suspect the anger on the left will be comparable to what we saw with the Dobbs decision?
It's a hard question, Michael, because at one level, I think Dobbs may be the most negative reaction to a Supreme Court case I've ever seen in my lifetime. Where, remember, the opinion was leaked by insiders in the court to try to alter the outcome. You had an assassination attempt on Justice Kavanaugh, again, to try to change the outcome. On the other hand, now that the question is returned to the states, all that political controversy and focus is getting dissipated, I think, as it should be, in state-by-state political races. Affirmative action, on the other hand, it's different because if you look at the polls, the majority of Americans don't want use race in college admissions. This is a case where if the court does something here and strikes down affirmative action, as I think you're right, I agree with your read that it's going to be 6-3. I don't even see it being 5-4. If that's the case, it's actually going to be very popular in the country. You know, you look at these states like California, Florida have already barred the use of race in college admissions. And so I don't think you're going to see the kind of negative reaction. I think the negative reaction will express itself differently, which is I think you're going to see, unfortunately, a lot of college administrators, local school administrators try to cheat, try to keep using race, but hide it, resist it, I think, massively in various institutions. And they're going to fight on this for years and years until the government finally stops using race.
That was one of the, I thought, most interesting questions that was posed by Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson. She asked about whether this would somehow result, if they end up overturning Grutter and banning affirmative action, banning race-based admissions, if that would prevent students, for instance, when they do their essays, would prevent the students from alluding to their own lives and their own backgrounds and saying, oh, when I've visited a given Asian country with my parents. And I thought that the way that Justice Roberts answered that was quite amusing. We will get to that and more with John Hugh of University of California Law School here on the Michael Medved Show.
Now's the time to join the millions of Americans who have changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. MyPillow is now offering a BOGO extravaganza on multiple MyPillow products. Right now, get buy one, get one free pricing on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillows, six-piece towel sets, and roll and go anywhere MyPillows, and yes, so much more. Just go to the Radio Listeners Specials page at MyPillow.com and use the promo code MEDVED. That's MyPillow.com, promo code MEDVED, or call 1-800-320-6280. That's 800-320-6280. Don't miss this incredible BOGO extravaganza at MyPillow.com. Buy one, get one free on select products. Remember, that's promo code MEDVED or 1-800-320-6280.
We've all heard the saying, safety in numbers. Well, think again. The IRS, the country's powerful tax collection agency, is on a hiring spree. They're bringing in 87,000 new agents. Now, no taxpayer at any income level is entirely safe from IRS scrutiny or, worse, a dreaded IRS audit. This is Michael Medved for AmFed Coin and Bullion. How safe are your accumulated savings and wealth from government examination and reach? Owning gold and silver is one of the best ways to keep your wealth in your own hands. Precious metals provide a layer of privacy that's not available through a bank account. When you own precious metals, only you and your dealer have knowledge of your purchase. Now, I buy all of my precious metals from my friend Nick Rovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion. Nick's been in this industry for 41 years, and he has established a reputation built on trust, transparency, integrity, and fair pricing. Call Nick and his team, 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Michael Medved Show, speaking with Professor John Yu of University of California at Berkeley Law School about the oral arguments yesterday and the forthcoming decision that is going to be rendered by the court. Professor Yu expects sometime around June. And probably, he argues, what was likely to be a popular decision. Yesterday, they released from Pew Research a poll on factors that people approved of as a factor in college admission. And 74% of Americans, three-quarters of Americans, including huge majorities of black people, of Latino people, of Asian people, the majorities all believed overwhelmingly that the university should not be able to use race as a factor in admission. So this probably will not, Professor Yu guesses, have the same kind of earth-shaking impact that the Dobbs decision did. The question for me is, do you think that some of the members of the court, particularly the Chief, Chief Justice Roberts and others, had some inkling of just how controversial and basically unpopular so far the Dobbs decision would be?
I think they did. I mean, the court has been well aware of all the pressure because of abortion, in part because they all go through the Senate to get confirmed. And usually abortion is the main issue, or has been the main issue, for their confirmations. Going back, you know, probably to Antonin Scalia, just after Scalia, to Bork's nomination in 1987. Affirmative action, less so. I think you're right, Michael. I think most Americans and Americans of all racial groups don't want themselves to be judged based on their race. And they don't want their children, when they apply to college or they get assigned to their local schools, to be treated on the basis of race. And so I don't think you see this same kind of political controversy surrounding affirmative action at the popular level. You don't see it in the confirmation hearings. I don't think that you're going to see efforts, for example, by Congress to try to require the use of race the way they tried to overrule Dobbs just a few months ago.
Well, and that came up in the conversation yesterday where Justice Jackson was basically asking whether there was any intention here or possibility of the court basically limiting any mention of race, which, of course, it seemed to me that one of the interesting questions would be, is you really want to make everything colorblind, you couldn't send in photographs, because there are kind of indications in most photographs about some racial identification. And that is not something that we have to fear, is there? That people would have to hide their racial background after a decision here?
I didn't see that in the oral arguments, Michael. In fact, I thought I heard Justice Kavanaugh, Justice Barrett, you know, the two most junior Trump appointments, seeming to support the idea that applications, while they, you know, applications could allow people to talk about race in the context of their personal challenges they've overcome or interests they have in groups, that's, I think, different than allowing the use of race to determine the outcomes. I think what's going on here is that colleges were claiming, oh, well, yeah, we are only considering race as type of a whole person review. But when you look at the statistics, I think Harvard got caught out, where, for example, if you were a black student and you were in the fourth of the fifths, I guess you're basically 80% of the way down in applications, your chance of getting in to Harvard was just as good as an Asian student who was the top fifth of applicants. And so at oral argument, Harvard had a really hard time saying, oh, yeah, we actually are only using race as one of 40 factors, because the statistics were damning.
Yeah, and again, in terms of the arguments before the court, those statistics are damning. Why, in a nutshell, is that so dangerous and so, you'll pardon the expression, un-American?
Well, I think the most important thing, and at times, sometimes, if you listen to the oral arguments, the broader American themes get lost, because I hate to say it as a lawyer, but it's nine lawyers sitting there with two more oral advocates, who are lawyers, and they can get, you know, down into the weeds. And sometimes you don't see the, you know, the important principles in those kinds of arguments. But the most important principle is that from the Declaration of Independence to the Constitution to a Civil War, Abraham Lincoln to Martin Luther King, these all are people and documents and moments stood for the idea that we are all equal individuals and that we should not be treated as basically members of racial groups. And one important thing that did come through is that several justices reminded us that at times in the past, people thought that they were doing good things by discriminating on the basis of race. Even segregationists thought what they were doing was for the good of the races. And you had Harvard University thought it was good to keep the number of Jews down in the 1920s and 30s. And logic and rhetoric that's very similar, I'm afraid, to what Harvard's doing today. But those are all mistakes. The court has said repeatedly, and several justices reminded us, that you know, our history with race in our country has been such a bad one, the best thing to do is to stop using it at all.
Well, this was, I believe, in a prior affirmative action-related case, Justice Roberts wrote, you can't overcome discrimination by practicing discrimination.
Yes, and I think actually, in contrast to Dobbs from last term, I don't think you're going to see Chief Justice Roberts trying to play a middle role, trying to protect these past decisions that actually go back all the way to the early 70s, too, just like abortion here, the Bakke case. I don't see him trying to moderate the court. Actually, when it comes to cases like past affirmative action cases, past race cases, he has actually been one of the strongest justices on the court in defending a colorblind constitution.
And that, again, is something that will be a legacy of these cases. Let me ask you on a different subject. A lot of attention... we are out of time. But what I was going to ask you about was the problem of political violence, which is getting so much attention. And we will continue that discussion. Basically... what can be done in the last days before the midterm elections to take this air of danger and attack and violence and to purify it somehow, or to at least improve the air quality? John Yu always improves the quality of any conversation. He is a Manuel S. Heller Chair in Law at the University of California at Berkeley. We will be.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Biden is hitting the campaign trail with a stop in Hallandale Beach, Florida, to support Democratic gubernatorial candidate Charlie Crist and warn voters about Republicans who want to undo Social Security, Medicare, and price caps on prescription drugs.
It's going to affect as many Americans as anything else, and a great deal of people in this state are going to be affected. And and they're under siege by our Republican friends.
Worth noting, the plan put forth by House Minority Leader from California, Kevin McCarthy, talked nothing about undoing Social Security, Medicare, or any price caps on prescription drugs. The Supreme Court denied Senator Lindsey Graham's emergency plea to avoid cooperation with the Georgia grand jury investigating possible pro-Trump interference in the state's 2020 vote count. This is USA Radio News.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. GCN's policy is open forum, avoiding censorship. Defense costs for words spoken outside of our control supersede the ability to deliver voices to this important talk platform. The First Amendment is the foundation of our core values. Cancel culture is silencing voices regardless of perspective. Freedom to speak is in the balance. Support the legitimacy of speech itself. Consider donating to SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Michael Medved show, big news out of Israel. Bibi Netanyahu has apparently earned, through the Israeli election today, a surprisingly strong mandate to return to power with his Likud party and associated coalition. This has a huge economic impact because Bibi has already been associated very strongly with less regulation in government, more government sympathy to the profit motive. He gave a speech to the joint session of Congress. This is 30 years ago. And a speech, I always forget it, he said, right now there is no word for deregulation in Hebrew. He says, trust me, after my prime ministership, there will be. And with that kind of pro-business attitude, this is a great time to look at our crowd. Because if you take a look at our crowd, it's all about the secrets of the revolution, economic revolution, based in Israel with high tech and startups. In fact, led Israel to be called Startup Nation. You can find out about the very latest and the latest opportunities to actually be part of what could be historically successful investments. Check it out. Go to michaelmedved.com. Costs you absolutely nothing. I get all the new information from our crowd. Just look for the banner for our crowd at michaelmedved.com. The question about the politics and the rudeness and the horror and the nastiness of American politics, look, do I believe that this
this individual, David DePape, who brutally attacked, and some of the details are quite striking about how brutal he was with Paul Pelosi, the husband of the Speaker of the House. Is this really the norm in terms of political exchanges? Just to give you the idea that you can make a case and a strong case for your side without being edgy or personal or bitter or angry. Because even though there's a difficult moment here, it seems to me that the candidates who are doing best, well, those candidates include people like Tiffany Smiley, who is right now put the state of Washington in the actual toss-up category, formally, at least according to Real Clear Politics. And it's because she has found a way to talk about crucial issues without being personally vitriolic. This is her new ad about inflation and crime, clip 9.
Scotty has never seen our children.
A price I was honored to pay.
Today, too many families are having to sacrifice, and I fear we are losing our country. Life is unaffordable, and our communities less safe.
We need change. That's why my hero, Tiffany Smiley, is running for Senate.
I won't stop fighting until we leave our children in America worth giving their eyesight for.
You got this.
With your help, we will. I'm Tiffany Smiley, and I approve this message.
Okay, that was her husband featured there, and she, of course, is famous now for having fought for her husband to become the first Army officer in history to maintain his active duty officer status after losing his eyesight in Iraq. And in her latest ad, she actually uses her children to make the case for mom. Listen, this is clip 20.
Hi, I'm Baylor.
Hi, I'm Grant.
And Grady Smiley.
Reminding you to turn in your ballots for our mom.
Tiffany Smiley.
Send it back here so we can finally walk home from school alone.
Here to bring back road trips.
Or here so we can get the good snacks again.
Thanks, boys. This year, every vote counts. Get your ballots in by November 8th, and together, we will win.
Mom, they got this.
I'm Tiffany Smiley, and I approve this message.
Okay. Explained of the kids. I bet the kids enjoyed it and were very much grateful for that opportunity to communicate. There's other aspects of our political situation which do lend themselves to an edgier approach. For instance, Saturday Night Live over the weekend satirized horror movies on the Saturday night before Halloween, of course, and they tied in a potential candidacy for 2024. Not the one you think. Listen, this is clip 8.
I'm going to get some more popcorn. You want some?
Sure.
Sometimes a familiar face can be the most terrifying.
In political news, President Biden has said he intends to run for re-election in 2024.
You trust him once.
I know he's a little old, but he can still win, right? He beat Trump.
But can he beat DeSantis?
I don't know.
I don't know!
Can you trust him again?
He's 79 now. Election's in 2 years, so that means...
Just when you thought the terror was over.
I don't know, Kamala?
Sometimes your best option.
I'm with her.
Biden, maybe? Are we back to Biden?
Yes, I'm Biden.
All right. Again, this is by the way, they gave him an extra year. He's going to be 80 this month. Yeah, he's 80 in November. So he would be not 81, but 82 if he does run again. The rest of the political news, Ted Cruz has actually endorsed the idea that David DuPont, who is the suspect in the attack on Paul Pelosi's house, despite the fact that he has this long and prolific record of postings and contributions on the internet, that he can't possibly be a militant right winger, and despite his very enthusiastic support for President Trump that he's expressed and for Tulsi Gabbard as his running mate, and that is because he was once a Berkeley nudist. and actually, look, the idea that someone like that can't today be very much, and where he is, I would say that his basic point of view, his outlook, his perspective is not entirely coherent. When they say that the things that he likes and dislikes, that they found out through analyzing his postings, a hatred of Jews, Holocaust denial, anti-black, anti-BLM, anti-trans, anti-women, anti-communist, anti-liberal, anti-Antifa, anti-mainstream media, anti-higher education, and pro-Kanye West. What does that really tell you about him? Oh, we'll be right back on the MedVet Show. Well, it's autumn, and if you're going to go out and look at some of the great colors of the leaves and enjoy the season, well, you get more active, and you know what? Maybe some aches and pains. I had a sore arm for a while, but fortunately I also have Relief Factor. And more to the point, my wife, who is always more active than I am, she uses Relief Factor as well. It is a great, wholly natural, very healthy, scientifically proven pain reliever. It is you have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. And right now, Relief Factor is still discounted at only $19.95 for what's called a quick start. So about a dollar a day to see if you can get out of pain in just a couple of weeks. And for the cost of a cup of coffee a day, you can get out and stay out of pain. Check it out at michaelmedved.com. Look for the banner for Relief Factor. Some of America's most important principles, like freedom of conscience, speech, rule of law, sanctity and dignity of human life, the family, and economic freedom, are under contemporary assault. It's more important than ever to teach our nation's traditional values and timeless principles. Now, these sometimes forgotten values must be remembered and communicated, and the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College exists to accomplish just that. The Institute promotes these principles to the next generation of leaders on campus and across the country. Go to the website faithandfreedom.com and you'll find online courses on Ronald Reagan and James Madison, and above all, a vigorous defense of Western civilization and its highest values. Advocating for these timeless principles is why Grove City College continues to be a beacon in higher education. Go to faithandfreedom.com.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
And on the Michael Medved show, one of the factors in this election as it's shaping up, and it's very, very clear, has been the consistency and the intensity with which it's mounted week after week after week. The number one issue is the economy and inflation. That's what people care about. All of the polling shows that the attempt by Democrats to make the central issue in this campaign, abortion, is a non-starter, because I think people have gotten the idea that in the months since the Dobbs decision, that in most states it's not going to involve some kind of dramatic or drastic change. Certainly if you live in one of the strong pro-choice states in the country, California or New York or Massachusetts or the state of Washington, nothing is going to change. There's going to be no, quote, loss of abortion rights. And in any event, it's not the kind of thing you deal with every single day. The economy, however, Ed O'Keefe, a commentator on politics and public affairs, actually has a tremendous perspective on this that should help understand why the Democrats trying to replace the economic concerns and the suffering of the American people with inflation, trying to replace that with a focus on abortion, was never going to work. Listen.
Focus to be about extremism.
Yeah.
So not even talking about the affirmative case, but fear the other side.
Right. Not only in the realm of democracy and those concerns, but in the realm of abortion rights and Social Security and Medicare being ripped up or rethought. I watched Maloney this week actually make that exact argument to a bunch of seniors in an assisted living facility. He says, if you don't think they might come after your Social Security and Medicare, look what they just did to abortion rights after 50 years of threatening to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of a way to make both arguments at the same time, but not make an exclusive abortion argument. And that's the kind of pivoting that they've done here, now realizing that abortion isn't as urgent an issue. Part of the reason, one Republican I talked to this week said, look, you go look at mothers across the country who may be concerned about abortion rights, but they're not necessarily bumping up against the issue of abortion rights every day. They're bumping up against the fact that beef is costing three times as much as it did before. And those more urgent economic issues may be what's drawing people back over to the Republican side.
Yeah, I mean, literally, even if you're a wonderful repeat consumer of abortion rights, the idea that you're going to get abortions every week, that doesn't happen. It's not real. And what is real is you go shopping every week, or you get gas every week, or you get gas once every 2 weeks if you have a if you don't drive as much. But the point being that what matters to people when they are voting is stuff that impacts them every day. And to some extent, the idea that that Democrats are going to be helped in the long run by the Pelosi matter, I think that it helps to create some sympathy for the Pelosis as a couple and for them as a family, especially their kids are coming out and saying now their father may have been hurt and injured more seriously than previously noted. But the idea that this is going to somehow be a political bonanza for Democrats, I think, is not true. I don't think people are going to react that way. And the one thing that I do think people are rejecting is the idea of people trying to spin conspiracy theories around all of this. To help prevent that, the San Francisco DA, Brooke Jenkins, actually attempted to clear up some of the misunderstandings surrounding the event. Listen, this is clip 7.
Of course, it's always paramount that the correct facts be in the public. We, of course, do not want distorted facts floating around, certainly not in a manner that is further traumatizing a family that's already been traumatized enough given the nature of this incident. One last thing that I want to say today is that as leaders and as citizens, it is incumbent upon us all to watch the words that we say and to turn down the volume of our political rhetoric. We should be able to all engage in passionate political discourse, but still remain respectful of one another.
Okay. Does someone want to disagree with that? No, of course not. She continues about details on the attack.
The defendant was holding his hammer, which Mr. Pelosi appeared to be attempting to control by holding a portion of that hammer. The defendant then pulled the hammer away from Mr. Pelosi and violently struck him in the top of his head. The police then immediately apprehended the defendant. What we also have learned is that the defendant brought to the location of the Pelosi residence a second hammer, as well as zip ties, rope, and a roll of tape. What is clear based on the evidence that we have thus far is that this house and the speaker herself were specifically targets of the defendant.
Okay, and then this about the idea that somehow the Pelosis or Paul Pelosi had some knowledge of David DePapp. This is clip 3.
It's been quite widely reported, some of the websites that Mr. DePape has been on, and let me just say this. It is a very, very sad state of affairs with all the rhetoric that's out there, conspiracy theories that are out there, and we've spent a lot of energy just pushing back just really ridiculous conspiracy theories and make sure that people stay focused on our team on what they need to do, and that is uncover the evidence is there and really not get into all these wild conspiracy theories. And these things are harmful to society. They're harmful to the victims involved. They are just, it's really sad that we are here in this place, but we are. And I say that to answer your question. We have a lot of work to do on this case, and we don't want to get ahead of ourselves in terms of releasing information. Obviously, there's a political undertone on this.
Can you clear it up once and for all? Did Paul Pelosi know his attacker?
There is absolutely no evidence that Mr. Pelosi knew this man.
Okay, and that's important to keep in mind. There's another crime movie. It's a true crime thriller that portrays a truly, truly skilled but despicable con man. And An American Murderer. That's the title. Listen.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
Ryan Philippe plays a dedicated FBI man on the track of a charismatic con man who seduces women and victims in American Murderer. Now playing in theaters and soon to be streaming on multiple platforms.
This is our prime suspect.
He's a con man.
You're never going to find him.
You sure about that? He won't get away with this.
Based on the true story of somebody who got away with a great deal, culminating in a cold-blooded killing. Rising star Tom Pelfrey is outstanding as a protagonist you can't help liking and loathing. While Broadway star Idina Menzel is memorable as one of his innocent victims. The relationship between the anti-hero and his family provides some unexpected depth in this surprisingly spellbinding true crime drama. 2.5 stars for the memorable American murderer. And next time on the Michael Medved show, about a not would-be murderer, but would-be kidnapper, there's a question posed in Newsweek. Does David DePape represent a new trend in domestic terrorism? That's a frightening thought. And the Atlantic asks about a pandemic amnesty, suggesting that we need to forgive one another for what we did and what we said when we were in the dark about COVID. Is that true, or are there some things that are just unforgivable? The election in Israel that appears to have brought back Bibi Netanyahu, what does that mean for America? What does that mean for Israel, the prospects of some attack by Iran, or progress on the Abraham Accords? We'll be speaking with former Ambassador Michael Oren about the future of the U.S. and Israel. And we'll also be talking about The Hill observing that the impending red wave, Republican wave, that's taking place, how could it in these last few days actually become a tsunami? We will get to that and much more next time on Wednesday in This Greatest Nation on God's Green Earth.
Fred Dreyer here for the product I use and love, Balance7.com. Are you suffering with heartburn? Get relief from Balance 7. You know, most people are able to go back to eating the foods they enjoy with Balance 7. Please don't be stubborn. This really works. You're just a sip away from enjoying the foods you like. Try Balance 7 with a money-back guarantee. Are you experiencing fatigue and brain fog? So many people complain that in the afternoon, their energy seems to disappear and the brain becomes foggy. Balance 7 neutralizes the acids in your body. This aids your digestion. The energy from food is more effective, and afternoon brain fog fades away. Balance 7 is the answer. Go to Balance7.com or call 800-793-9039. That's 800-793-9039. Mention the code word FRED and get $10 off your order. Call 800-793-9039 and mention the code word FRED. Get heartburn relief and more with my favorite, Balance7.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, about to give you a URL that can and will change your life. You will simply investigate it and look into it for your own self. Do your own research. This is an absolute 360 win for GCN, for American Tax Solutions, and for you. Ladies and gentlemen, these are top tax lawyers that will deliver you super service very, very quickly and change your life. The average person can save up to 90% on their taxes. Visit GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.